the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You like pancakes? Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear us on demand if you go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. The Tom Likas Show is brought to you in part by the Mangrake Grill Enhancement System. You can still get on-time delivery for Father's Day. Just go to Mangrake.com, enter coupon code TOM101, and get your Likas discount today. Hook your dad up with Mangrakes. Thank you for tuning in. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as we do every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time live, we welcome into the studio attorney Adam Sachs here in his guise as family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming out.
Tom, what's going on?
Not much. Doing my thing over here. What's going on with you?
Not much. I was listening to you talking to that gentleman from the last hour. It's making me think, Tom, making me think.
Adam, he's a lawyer.
That was pretty unbelievable. The scary thing.
Well, not necessarily because his field is not family law. His field was something else.
I know, but it means he wasn't exactly born yesterday, you know? Plus, she was
a
lawyer.
I must tell you, I've known more than one lawyer, Adam, who has refused to get a prenup. A lot of lawyers are just, they think that because they're lawyers, they are Superman and nothing can touch them. And so I've known more than one attorney who got married without a prenup. These are people I know.
Unbelievable. You know, Tom, what kills me the most, and this is something that you talk about, is you say driving the bus, but what you're really talking about is control, I think. And, people say you don't want to be controlling, but it would be nice to control your own life, you know? And one of the things that people don't even realize is how far that can get away from you. And I'll give you a small example which will absolutely blow your mind, okay? So,
sure.
You know that, of course, you're like doing your own thing, and let's say you're getting divorced, you're going to hire your own lawyer, right? And you're going to choose this person, and you're going to choose what they do. And I know you, Tom, you would scrutinize the bill, and you would look at your lawyer's hourly, and if it was, too high, you'd like chisel him down or whatever. What's fascinating is that your wife could go ahead and hire absolutely anyone she wants. That person could go off on any tangent they want, and you would get stuck with the bill. How's that for a loss of control?
Oh, I know. For me, it's all about control of my life. I talked about this.
I'm talking about control of money here.
Yeah, but I'm talking about control of everything. Yeah, you know, one thing in my life, Adam, and it relates to marriage and everything else, is I was brought up by a controlling father who tried to control my every move. And on the one hand, I don't want anyone controlling me. And on the other hand, I want to have complete control over everything in my own life. I don't try to control other people's lives, only my own.
Well, naturally, but if you're the one who's paying for something, normally that would be your choice.
Right.
It's fascinating to me. I have a case where the guy is paying a huge amount of money to his wife's lawyer, and he really has no control over it. And she's just ignorant. She doesn't really follow it, and she doesn't care about the bottom line exactly. So she just hired this extravagant lawyer, and he's spending money all over the place. And she is just, unaware, and he has to pay it. And what's fascinating even further in that circumstance in terms of loss of control, he can't even discuss it with her. Because, she doesn't want to talk to him and there's a restraining order and whatnot. And so it's just this lawyer who's running up bills, $100,000, $200,000, and he just supposed to pay it and shut up. I don't really know of any other examples in the world that relate to that in the same way, that you're going to end up having to pay for something that you have absolutely no control over and no choice in. I think that's fascinating. One of the things that I wanted to mention now was the real issue of, basically, Tom, common sense. What you were talking about before with that other gentleman who was a lawyer and he was dating this woman who's a lawyer is the problem of, I guess, love trumping rationality and guys trying to believe that they're the exception, which is, I think, like you say, Tom, the reason that people play lotteries is because somehow, you know, you want to pretend to yourself that somehow you're going to be the one that wins or whatever. It's going to be this, you know, million to one shot. And even though it's a very, very long shot, you're going to be the one who comes in. And what people don't realize, it's definitely a connotation. You know, you said something in the past few hours also, Tom. You said that you were divorced four times or whatever. I think you called yourself a four-time loser. Was that the one?
In the world of trying to be married successfully, yes, I was a loser. I lost money. I lost time. I lost freedom, sure.
Yeah, one of your callers said something like, you're going to have to start over again at 40, which is obviously a very distressing thought. But, you know, if you think about it, we have to change the way words sound. And the word divorce sounds very negative. It's like something negative and unfortunate and, oh, he's divorced or whatever. It means that he's a loser or he screwed up or he couldn't get it together. What if we change the connotation of these words and, in fact, we admitted that, you know, divorce was actually a good thing in a lot of ways? And that instead of looking at it as something that's a tragedy or whatever, you look at these people and you realize that you're freeing yourself and you're taking a step forward in your life and you're getting this piano off your back, essentially. I remember that was a quote that was attributed to, I think it was Emilio Estevez or something. He said, yeah, I had a girlfriend once, but then I got that piano off my back. Wouldn't it be?
I know Emilio. I've never heard
really?
Him say that. Yes.
That's good to know.
I'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was him. But, I mean, when you think about, you know, these things in terms of the way that you're always supposed to be kind of working on yourself, and, you know, when you go to the bookstore, which I guess bookstores are starting to disappear, but even online, when you look at the books that people read, a lot of them, particularly women, are reading self-help books, and people are trying to analyze themselves and so forth. And if you really look at it, you know, one of the greatest things you can do to fix your life and to try to fix your situation is to get divorced. And one of the aspects of what you talk about, Tom, and I think a lot of the Likas 101 philosophy is trying to look at life as it really is rather than how you wish it would be. I got a fascinating call today, Tom, from a guy who naturally told me that he was a P1 listener of yours, and that's how how he found me in the first place. And he was telling me that he's dating this woman for a while, and now she's pregnant, which is very mysterious to him because he has had a vasectomy some time ago. And so his girlfriend is pregnant, and so, you ready for this, Tom? His vasectomy must have failed. Okay.
What?
And so I'm telling him, dude, I really don't think your vasectomy failed. Well, apparently he read a statistic somewhere that like 1 in 40,000 or something fails or something ridiculous like that. And he was very convinced that that must be the explanation. I said, well, I suppose that could be true because there must be some small percentage of failure. But I have an even more likely theory, which is that she cheated, you know? And he couldn't accept that. He just said, no, that's not possible. It can't be that.
Unbelievable. That there's denial for you right there.
Well,
that's unbelievable.
That's the beauty of it, you see? And no matter how many ways I talked to him about it and how many ways I described it, he couldn't, you know, really come to that conclusion. And what's lovely in your analysis, Tom, when you were talking to that guy in the last hour, is how you were saying to him, you know, what benefit is there to you for getting married? And you know, when you kind of distilled it like that, He literally just said, well, I guess you're right, there isn't any. But, you know, that's very difficult to be that logical when it comes to matters of the heart. And, you know, when they say the language that people use and the way that people speak really defines life, which is, you know, your language is the limit of your ability to think and express. When you start off with certain concepts, which are certainly taught to us by our parents and by religion and so forth, for example, that marriage is a good thing. I think, Tom, that's part of what makes your teaching so radical, where you're finally saying the truth, which is, you know, it really isn't a good thing. And then I think if we can take a step further and saying, well, if you are married and you get divorced, that's not a failure. That's a good thing. That's you freeing yourself. I think that that's an incredible, incredible step forward.
Yeah, and I think it's important for guys to remember. You know, again, I hear these guys like Mike in that last hour with Tony. I do hear guys who are saying, well, she wants to get married. She really wants to get married. And my response to that, quite frankly, is who the fuck cares what she wants? Who cares?
But it's not a classic statement where someone's explaining to you their girlfriend's point of view the whole time. And you know how you had mentioned, Tom, how I think one of the girlfriends or MTLs was saying that they wanted you to sell your house.
Yes.
I think in the Hollywood Hills and move to Malibu or Pacific Palisades or something.
Right.
Now, I just remember talking to so many guys, and they're saying the same kind of thing, that the wife wants to do something where he's supposed to, you know, really radically change his life in some dramatic way, like moving to, you know, a different area or something. And you're saying, like, well, why would you want to do that? And then the answer is his explanation of why she wants to do it. And explaining it in that context, and you're saying, yeah, I heard you. Okay, great. Your girlfriend or wife or fiance wants to. Why do you want to? And he's relying on that sort of kind of going back to the woman's point of view and trying to explain why she feels this way and how she thinks that, you know, I guess Pacific Palisades would be better for the children or something. And it's just so fascinating that when you're in that context of a relationship and you're thinking that way and you're trying to make it work, essentially, you have to suspend disbelief. You know, like when you talk about like a movie, for example, you know, you go see Star Wars, you know, and you have to pretend that this universe exists, you know, and the only way that you can really enjoy the movie is if you kind of put your mind into that place, you know, and you say, okay, there are spaceships and there are aliens and there's all this technology and lasers and all that. But if you're able to suspend disbelief in that way, then you can really get into the story. If you can't, if you stand outside it and you say, you know, this doesn't speak to me, this is nonsense, then, you know, you don't enjoy the movie at all. And I think that one of the really crucial things that you have to do in a relationship is you have to suspend disbelief and pretend that you believe the nonsense that you're listening to. Like if your girl is into astrology or some numerology or she's into The Secret or whatever the hell it is and meditation and she's laying this on you and you have to sit there and nod and go, oh, wow, really? Well, I was born in the house of Jupiter? That's fascinating, honey. What does that prove? That we're perfect together, you know? And you have to be able to go along with that. And one of the beautiful things that a lot of them, and this relates to me, what Emilio Estevez said was how beautiful it is to essentially knock that off and to get that off your back and to finally say, wait a second, I don't have to listen to this. This is bullshit. And that guy talking about the Korean lawyer that he was seeing, and he was very, you know, with focus and with real belief was saying, I know what you mean, Tom, but not my girl. She's different. Right. She's special.
She's the exception to the rule. That's what he told me.
Oh, of course she is. Of course she is. And it's amazing how all the guys always find the exception to the rule, and then they call me, you know, a couple years later, and they're in absolute hell, you know? And I talked to a guy today, Tom, a really distressing story, where he had he's married for 4 years. They had a lot of different incidents or whatever, and now they had a real big blowout. And he did the classic thing. She was jumping on him nails first, and he grabbed her by the wrists to stop her and bruised up her wrists. So now she called the police. He was arrested. And although he's facing a trial for domestic violence, plus there's a restraining order against him with her and everything else, he immediately goes back with her. And he's telling me how wonderful things are going and everything's fine and all this sort of thing. And that's that same thing that's continuing that suspension of disbelief. And I said, listen, if she called the police on you and you're facing a trial for domestic violence, things are not good. Things are really bad. And he's telling me, no, things are really good with her. I'm like, no, things couldn't be worse. And he's really like focused and arguing with me and disagreeing with me about it. It's fascinating. It shows you how kind of flexible the mind is and how the human brain is capable of, you know, sort of convincing yourself so many different kinds of things that make no sense. And remember last week, and this, I've got a lot of good comments about our show last week, where I had this guy that I had gotten his DUI dismissed, and he like couldn't accept it. Remember that?
Yes, I remember.
I've gotten a lot of nice comments on the internet about that show, Tom. And this is really, I think, almost the same kind of thing, where you know your brain registers and sees what it wants to see. And it's very reminiscent to me of the other gentleman that you were talking to earlier, who is saying, you know, this classic thing, which is, you know, you don't understand our special love, not my girl, she's the exception. I really think that that's a very important and big part of the human experience, that there's a need to think that way. And as much as your life is unique, and that's great for you, whoever you are, there are a lot of aspects in terms of relationships and life and so forth that are really great universal truths. And, you know, Tom, I always...
Or they're universally believed, even if they're not true. Like, I've met my soulmate, or our baby is the most perfect baby in the whole wide world, and things like that.
Well, one of the truths is going to be, the truth is, you are just another person who thinks you met your soulmate. And your baby's really adorable, but so what? You know, everyone has a baby that they find adorable. And I just remember, and this goes especially, Tom, in the years when you were on terrestrial radio, that you'd always get a call from this bitchy woman, and she'd say, you know, no, you're such a jerk, Lycus. You're overgeneralizing, and you're projecting stereotypes. And you'd say, listen, lady, I'm broadcasting.
Exactly.
I gotta give some. It's not gonna be you and your three girlfriends, you know. I gotta generalize to some degree, and these rules are generally true. And you know, women certainly, I think, encourage men to think in terms of exceptionalism. And I think that a man will even say to his girlfriend, you know, I don't think we're special. I like you a lot, but I feel like you're gonna fuck me over. And she says, oh, darling, not us. You know, not I would never. It's the classic thing. I talk to guys who the girlfriend says, I promise, I swear, I don't want anything from you. I'm just going to have the baby, and I'm just going to raise it, and I won't put you on child support, and, you know, my mother's going to help me, and you don't have to worry, you know? And guys are putting their head down on the pillow at night accepting that that's true. And you know, I'm the bringer of the bad news when I tell the guy there's no chance at all, and she's definitely going to go after you. And the guys are saying to me, you know, hey, man, you're wrong. Not my girl. She promised me. She's not that type. She wouldn't do that. And it's like, what do you mean, that type? Like, what does that even mean? What are these words you're using, that type? Such nonsense.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like the ex-girlfriend I had who wanted to get a dog. And I said, there's a reason I don't have a dog. That's because I don't like going out and walking the dog, especially in bad weather. I don't like being responsible for feeding the dog. I like to travel, and I don't. And she said, oh, don't worry. When we get the dog, I'll take care of everything. You won't have to do anything. And then, sure enough, it wasn't a month after the dog arrived that she had the sniffles, and she needed me to take the dog with the dog's pink leash, I might add. She needed me to walk the dog.
Is that yappy?
Yes, the yappy dog. And, you know, of course, you know, how women love logic. I said, wait a minute. You said I would never have to do this. Didn't you say that?
Oh, my God.
And there was, like, no response. It was like, you know, of course I was lying to you. Now get out there and walk the dog. And that's the same thing with children. You know, women, when they are trying to make the pitch for children, will always say, oh, you won't have to lift a finger.
Oh, please.
And if you think when that baby cries at 3 a.m., you're not going to be sent out there to feed it or to change its diaper, please.
Well, even if you're participating with the baby situation, one way or another, whatever you do is definitely going to be inadequate. That's the key.
Right.
And I think the memory for me with that, again, with a great Lycus example, as I recall, was always vacuuming, as I recall. Which was you vacuuming and the woman showing you how you vacuumed all wrong.
Right.
And you got no taste.
I take the garbage out wrong. I use the wrong pot or the wrong pan for the job.
Right. I was just getting to pots and pans.
Yes.
I think it was the wife that had already eaten, and then you start cooking, and she's showing you that you're cooking wrong or whatever.
Right. You're cooking wrong. Not only would she not cook for me, but she would stand over my shoulder watching me cook. to tell me all the things I was doing wrong.
Can you explain to me how you could take out the garbage wrong? I think that's fascinating.
Well, first of all, you don't take out the right time. You should be taking the garbage out like every single day, every day, regardless of the fact we got plastic bags, hefty bags. You should be taking it out every single day, and you should be taking it out at a certain time. And you're holding the bag wrong. You know, if you hold it that way, it might slip, and the garbage might come out.
Oh, dear, not that.
You know, well, guess what? Somehow, I lived alone for years.
And you didn't starve to death, right?
And the garbage got out. How did that happen? Now, all of a sudden, now that you're here, I'm a cripple. I'm unable to do anything right ever.
Yeah.
I am always wrong. Nothing I say is funny. No fact I ever state is true. Nothing I do is good enough. And I don't do enough around the house. I'm not nice to the company when they come over. Just every move I make.
Oh, my God.
Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. But the thing is, when you say, which I did in my 1998 documentary, Blow Me Up, Tom, I did say.
There's the door.
There's the door. There it is. They never use the door, Adam. Never.
Unbelievable.
But I, like I say, once you say there's the door, guess what? Now you're driving the bus.
Amazing.
Because, you know, you tell them, well, if you don't like it, I don't know why you're here. And amazingly, they shut up.
The thing has to be, basically, Tom, is that, you know, a woman sees a relationship as an investment. And if you think of it in the same way, then you're not going to say there's the door. That's the thing, because that's a big risk. You know, when you're negotiating, right, one of the great things you can do is walk away from the table.
Right.
Say, look, I don't need this deal. This is stupid. You're not being fair to me. I'm not going to pay such a high price or whatever. And stand up and leave. And that's essentially what you're daring the other person to do. And the danger is that that could actually happen. If you say to the woman, there's the door, I think it's a remote possibility, but theoretically she could say, you know what, fine, and walk through the door and leave. And I think that most people are too terrified of that.
Absolutely true. And, you know, again, Tony was on for about an hour and a half, and it didn't matter how many people called in, and it didn't matter how many people had experience. You know, he's still very leery about breaking up with his girlfriend or telling her, look, there's not going to be any marriage. I'm having a vasectomy. I'm driving the bus.
Yeah, when guys are down that road, there's very little you can do to talk them out of it. So I've got a nice quote for you, Tom. This is from a song by Journey.
Yes.
It's be good to yourself because no one else will.
Don't stop.
There you go.
That's not that song.
Don't stop believing.
That's no,
right.
This is Be Good to Yourself. It's a different song. I knew Gary wouldn't take me seriously. All right. Where'd that come from?
Oh, Timpson just pulled himself out of his ass.
Is,
of course.
Is he the man?
Yes.
All right, hold on. It's the first. Just give it 1 second here. It's the first verse.
Yeah.
It's coming, it's coming. There you go.
There you go.
All right, Mike.
Are you a Steve Perry groupie there, Adam?
I don't know. It's a good song. Let's face it.
Oh, my.
All right. Calm down.
That's about all I can do.
All right, that was good. I'm getting a freaking headache. Okay. So, thanks for that, Mike. You got guys in here, Tom, that are unbelievable. Did you see that?
Oh, I know. They're the best of the best. They really are.
Now
we're going to take a break here,
that's
Adam.
That's an important message.
We have your client on hold.
No way.
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right.
But we have to take a break now, or we'll never do it. So we'll take the break now. We're going to come back.
I thought no breaks today, Tom. What's going on?
What do you think? This is PBS? Come on.
You had the show for an hour and a half, man. That was really special.
Hey, I understand that, but we kept playing breaks. We just played them all late. That's
Gary's looking at me, and he's like making a face, pointing to his watch.
Yes, let's do it. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a break, and you may have questions for Adam. He is here in his guise as family law attorney, Adam Sachs, answering your questions about divorce, child custody, child support, vagina money, and, of course, prenups and postnups, all that good stuff. And all you have to do to talk to Adam live is you call this number, 901-3000-TALK. It's free legal advice if you dial right now at 901-3000-TOM. Coming up next, we'll meet Adam's client, his client of the week, and we'll see what was happening there. And this one's a female, folks, 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Father's Day is almost here. And as always, we've got the perfect gift for you. It's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. You know, Mangrate's been with us for years now, and you've seen the pictures of just how great they work when we use them right here at the studio. Mangrates are 100% made in America cast iron grilling grates that you use with your existing grill. They consistently deliver exactly what you need to achieve that steakhouse flavor you've been looking for. And, of course, those perfect grilling marks every time. With Mangrate's patented design, chicken, steak, or, frankly, whatever you grill, never tasted so good. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Now, you only have until Wednesday to order for on-time delivery, so do it right now. Go to Mangrate.com, enter coupon code TOM101, and take advantage of their $19.99 Tom Likas Show special. And as a bonus, every order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush. Hook your dad up this Father's Day. He's going to love it. Go to Mangrate.com, enter coupon code TOM101. Do it today. It's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer, faster, harder. Do normal rock.
How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis. And they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that can help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your back, PC or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. And your phone calls here at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. Dial us right now at 901-3000-866. All right, Adam, it says here your client's name is Corey. Tell us about Corey.
You better just put her on.
Sure, I'll put her on.
Then you know.
Let's say hi to Corey.
That's awesome.
Hey,
hello.
Corey, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Adam?
Good, good. So last week I had a woman client on, Corey. No one can believe I have women clients, but it was a criminal case. And yours is a family law case, so we're going for some diversity here. Gary's making a nasty face, but I told him how nice you are, so he was excited.
I am.
Did you get that, Gary?
I'm nice. Like me, Gary.
So what happened today, Tom, was really wild. You know, there's probably more than 1,000 courtrooms just in Los Angeles County. And so today I was in a criminal case having nothing to do with Corey. And who do I see not only in the courthouse but in the same courtroom that I'm in, but Corey's ex-husband, who did not seem very happy to see me.
Oh,
and somehow thought I was related to his case, and he was, like, following me in the halls, and he followed me in the bathroom. And he was like, what are you doing here? It was, like, rather disturbing. So, Corey, tell
us. Well, that's where you work, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Well, different kind of work, Tom. So, Corey, tell us about the disconnect that men sometimes have when, you know, relationships are over and women try to communicate that and the man isn't exactly listening.
Well, that's exactly it. There is no listening. I believe he's just made it up in his mind that this is the way it's been for 20 years. This is the way it's supposed to continue. And he has real problems with reality.
See,
whenever I tell him.
One of the things that we were talking about in terms of the suspension of disbelief and so forth, in terms of the way that it sort of changes, and I don't know if you're guilty of this, you know, Corey, but like a woman sort of starts at the beginning of a relationship with kind of a sell job. We talk about how the man is, you know, kind of enticed in and he gets this whole thing. And it seems like women over time either change or they have different priorities or they sort of see things differently. And then they want to get out of relationships and to talk about how surprising that is for a lot of guys and how they don't see it coming and then they can't sort of adjust to it. And there's no one more guilty of it than your ex, as I recall.
Yeah, he's special.
So what happened? Yeah. Come on, say a few words. Don't just give me the one-word answers, please.
he's a stalker. That's why you were able to get me that restraining order real quick, like. And, you know, he just...
See, I told you, Adam, those restraining orders are a big part of this. You don't want to hear that, but it's true.
What do you mean? Do you like them or not, Tom?
Every time I bring them up, you're like, oh, no. It's all about divorce and child custody.
No.
Restraining orders are a part of this game.
Well, I'm always cranky about them, but, I mean, they are necessary sometimes. But the truth is, Corey, the restraining order didn't help you a whole lot, did it?
Not really. Not really. It, you know, he doesn't. He's in his own little world, at least I believe, to where he believes that there's, you know, the law can't touch him, you know, and if this is what he feels and this is what he thinks, then he can do it. It doesn't matter what's going on or what anybody else wants.
I think a lot of it, I think, is just sort of vanity and ego or whatever. He couldn't accept that you were done with him or whatever. But you see, Tom, that one of the premises in terms of a restraining order and any kind of court order is that people are going to listen to it and accept it. And if somebody doesn't accept that they're part of the world and, like, you know, think they're above the law, then they're just going to, you know, ignore it and so forth. And it is possible, as you can see, that I could represent a woman and I could actually get her a restraining order against a guy. That's not a joke. And we did that in Corey's case. And it always hurts me, Tom, when you and I get called misogynistic, right?
Right? Well, I just wanted to say to Corey, but he loves you.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I just heard it, so, yeah.
Oh, really? Lately there's more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I told you my daughter called, so.
All right. Corey gets this endless lists of text messages and they kind of seesaw between you're a bitch and I hate you and I love you and why aren't you talking to me, you know? And you see how the mind just gets confused by all this stuff.
And I really love you, honey. Now, how about a fist to the head?
I'm going to cut your throat, you fucking bitch, but I love you.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I love you.
No, but Corey, how many years has it been? I'm trying to remember. You've been away from him for a very long time.
December of 11, I think, is when I left.
Wow.
And you got me the temporary right away.
Yeah, so that's years.
It feels like it. Yet it doesn't feel long enough.
No, and today he was still calling you his wife.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he said it to me. Well, you're my wife's lawyer. What are you doing here?
Oh, my.
See that, Tom?
I do.
Yeah, that's not...
Well, one of the things we were talking about, Corey, and there was a guy I had called before, I don't know if you're listening, but he was sort of in the vibe. So we were talking about how when you're in a relationship, you sort of have to suspend disbelief and you have to sort of believe the fairy tale, you know, that your mm-hmm. love is different and the regular rules don't apply. And, you know, Tom always says to someone, do you really believe that Santa Claus is coming? Do you really believe you're going to win the lottery and beat the odds? And basically mm-hmm. the answer is, yeah, you do. You have to believe
yeah.
that. And so even if I say to you, your chance of success is less than 1%, people say, oh, I'll take that. I'll take those odds.
Yeah, I'll take the 1%.
I'll take that. That's okay. I'm sure I'll be all right, you know. So that really
1% way better than the lottery, I'll tell you that.
By the way, yeah. the odds of winning the lottery are astronomically low. People are like, oh, no, I think I'm going to hit it. It's like you're lucky if you'd have one number match. That would be a miracle by itself, much less, what, 6 or 8 plus the double ball or whatever they call it. You got to be kidding.
The bonus number.
Yeah. The bonus number. Thank you. But there's only 44 numbers, right? So that's 44 with an exclamation point, which means 44 times 43 times 42 times 41 all the way down to 2. That's a pretty big number in the end.
Yeah,
I think marriage isn't far from that, by the way.
I would say. Anyway, Corey, so did I take good care of you at least?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Thank you. Was I fairly sexist?
Barely.
Was I misogynist? I mean, come on, be fair. I want to hear this. God help me.
No. Especially, because I had been in that relationship for so long and I was so living in a fog about reality myself that, you kind of rattled my head and, shook me there for a minute. And it happens still every now and again to where you kind of have to wake me up to reality.
Yeah.
But he's nuts.
No, it's really hard. It's really hard. And I was just mentioning to Tom before you came on, I don't know if you heard it when you're on hold or whatever, there's a guy that called me that was talking about how his girlfriend's pregnant, but he's had a vasectomy. And so he's concluded that the vasectomy must have failed. Which is just nonsense, you know. I think probably more likely she fooled around on him. And you see how people are deeply, deeply embedded in these thoughts. And they're so invested in these thoughts that you cannot talk them out of them at some point. And, I try to, sort of talk to people and draw some of this out. But I think that it's some people are just so far gone. And I've always thought of your ex as a great example. And it's just very hard to deal with people like that. It's very hard to speak rationally to them. And
there's no reasoning.
Well, what do you, as a woman even, let's hear it, because we sort of have this kind of male space here. But what do you think of marriage now, Corey? Be honest.
I don't think there's anything wrong with marriage.
You sure?
It has to do with, exactly, I'm positive. It has to do with the two people going into it.
Really?
But that's a woman's point of view, because there are benefits if you are a woman in getting married, and those benefits do not inure to men.
Well, what about that, Corey? Okay, so in all fairness to you, do you think that men should get married?
Only if they want to. I mean, there's men out there that are, I mean, definitely, I don't want to say marriage material, but, that's something that they really want. They want to share their life with somebody. In that kind of special, intimate way that you can't do with anybody else.
I don't happen to agree with that. I happen to think men want to get, and your marriage is a good example. I think men want to get married to take you off the market.
Oh.
That's their primary reason. They want to have exclusive access.
So basically,
like getting Time Warner Cable, exclusive access to the Dodgers.
I can watch the Dodgers. All right.
they want to have exclusive access. They don't want to get married, but the implied threat is that if you don't put a ring on their finger, these women are going to leave you. And so the guys accept the idea they'll have to get married in order to have exclusive access. I don't think it's love. I don't think it's soulmates. I think, you know, guys don't want to have to be watching your Facebook page to see what your relationship status is or how many selfies you've posted. They want to know you're always going to be there, which, of course, is a fallacy, but they believe that, and that's the whole fantasy we're talking about.
So they're sort of traumatized by the thought of the woman cheating on them, and they think that's the way to make sure it'll never happen?
Yes. By the way, many women leave men with this impression. You know, like, I can't tell you how many women I've dated where they say, oh, I was out with a friend of mine last night. And we all know women refer to their female friends as girlfriends. So I was out with my friend last night means someone else was slipping the bone to me last night, not you.
Oh, God, that's right.
We know. That's what it's all about. And so what happens is this is the implied threat. You know, a woman tells you enough times, oh, I went to Vegas for the weekend with my friend, I had dinner with a friend last night, and eventually it's like the guy is saying to himself, if I don't lock this down, she's going to be getting boned by everybody in town plus me or except me, and I have to make that stop. So a lot of guys get married for the absolute wrong reason, if there is a right reason, and that is to just simply establish exclusivity, you know, to pee on the rug and establish their turf.
Thank God.
Well, then there's something wrong.
Isn't that romantic?
It's not romantic at all.
That's what it is. So that's what it is.
I think you probably, if you were in a relationship, you'd like to not believe that, you know?
You'd like to not believe that. I'd like to believe that the Easter Bunny is going to come and bring a basket with chocolates and jelly beans. I would like to believe that.
Unbelievable.
I would like
that. Yeah, but I've seen married people. I haven't seen the Easter Bunny. And I've seen happily married people.
Seriously?
Well, and they're not going to tell you if they're unhappy anyway. Look at everybody's parents who got divorced.
What
you
ends
know,
up?
I've also seen, I know somebody, a man, who is in a relationship that, and this is how I feel, that it takes two people who are completely their own and completely independent to come together and make it right.
But if they're really good independently, why do they need to come together?
Because just because something's really good doesn't mean it can't be better.
But the point is, if it's really good, why mess with success? You know, if you got a good thing going, keep it going.
Who's to say it's going to keep going? Eventually, you're going to get old and ugly, and nobody wants you.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, and that's what Snatch.com was made for. Or
it's not
PlentyOfRottenFish.com or one of those
well,
sites.
That's the reason to stay in a relationship, Corey, is because you're going to get old and no one's going to want you? That's
no.
the reason?
No.
You see, that's very romantic,
that's
Adam.
Not romantic
you see, again, it always gets down to some unromantic notion like that. I mean, like when people tell me, who's going to empty your bedpan when you get old?
Oh, that is sexy.
There is your romance. Oh, you know what? I better get married because I'm going to need someone to empty my bedpan.
Oh, Tom, that's just too much.
You know, like Casey Kasem. He needs someone to change his gauze on his bed sores.
Well, someone to fight over his money.
Right? Or throw ground beef at his daughter from a previous marriage.
Oh, jeez. Jesus.
Yeah. So that's why you get married. So when you get older, you get treated like that.
Corey, I was expecting so much more from you.
Come on now. you know my mind goes blank a lot.
No, it's not that. It's not that. I really had thought that at least theoretically some of your own experience had soured you on some of this. And I'm not trying to turn you off relationships for the rest of your life.
No.
But no one's been through as much as you, Corey. And it's amazing to me that you still hold hope out for marriage.
Well, see, this is the thing is that...
She just hasn't met the right stalker yet.
Hey, if he's hot, sexy, and has money, I might let him stalk me.
You see that, Tom?
See that?
Okay.
You see, so if you're...
Is that romantic enough?
If you're rich and good-looking, you couldn't be a stalker no matter what you do.
You can peek in the bedroom window anytime you like.
That just shows you. Chris Rock talked about that. If you're a good-looking guy, then, you know, you can't be a sexual harasser because the woman wants you to do it, you know? She wants to be
harassed.
Or if
you're the boss. You know, if you're the boss and she finds you attractive, even mildly attractive.
Well, everything's going to work.
Right.
If you're an ugly guy and you're bothering her, then you got trouble.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Well, anyways.
It boils down to that.
So Corey will give it a couple of months, and she's going to charge right back in, right back into the game.
Oh, you, Corey, if you get married again, I forget it. Don't call me. I'm not going to help you. I don't want to hear it. I'm serious. That's a two-time loser. I just like these people to get DUIs and then get another one after I fix the first one. That's too much, man. Anyways.
No, no. I'm out for making mistakes, you know.
I see.
You mean permanently or just the next few months?
Just the next few months. You know?
Next few months?
If they're fun mistakes, then I'll go ahead and make a couple fun mistakes.
Well, wasn't getting divorced liberating for you? Didn't it take you away from all those?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank God for that.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, it's done so much for me because it's got me to the place where I know I can stand on my own two feet, which is something I never thought I could do.
There you go.
Know, so.
All right, Tom, there's something.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, well, you're not going to find a bigger advocate for divorce than me, believe me.
Yeah, I just was saying that we need to take off the negative.
In my position, divorce was the only way to go, and I'm glad I did it. And the only regret I have is not doing it sooner, you know, if not.
Nice.
You know.
But doesn't that relate when you talk about the happily married couples that you know? I mean, I know these happily married people, and then I talk to them 2 years later, and they're getting divorced. And they will tell you that, you know, at the time when you saw them and they seemed happily married, it was all bullshit, you know?
Yes.
It was all this false pretense, and they were just smiling through their tears or whatever. So it's like, even the ones that you think are okay probably aren't.
Let me tell you something, right. Adam, and this is going to be graphic, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, dear.
When I did my show in Miami back in the 80s, we had a show called an hour every week called the Kinky Hour.
Really?
Where we would match people up with various. Well, maybe we will. But here's what happened. There were a number of, just like we have characters on our show today, like Suleiman and others. We had Handy Andy, who had 8 inches and was looking for married men willing to experiment. And we had a bunch of different characters on the show.
Wow.
And we had these two people who said they would never tell us their names. They would just tell us they were from the Pleasure Palace. And these two were looking to meet other couples or trios, whatever they were looking to meet. And they came in, and she was hot, and he wasn't a bad-looking guy. And
they came to the studio?
And I said, come on. How can you be happy always having sex with strangers? And what kind of marriage is this? And they told me how happy they were up at the Pleasure Palace up in Coral Springs, Florida. That's where they lived. Oh, they were so happy. Yes. So,
oh boy.
So anyway, and again, I told you this part.
I'm hearing music,
graphic,
Tom.
Okay?
I don't know where it's coming from.
One time we had not heard from the Pleasure Palace in a while, so we placed a call.
Oh dear.
And who picked up the phone but Mrs. Pleasure Palace? And we were calling to, you know, it's talk radio. We're just calling to have some fun. Hey, how's it going up there at the Pleasure Palace? And here's what the woman told me on live radio. She said that they had split up.
Oh, no.
And I said, why? She said, because he raped me with a broken Heineken bottle.
Oh, my God.
Now, why do I tell you this story? Because everybody tells you how happy, happy, happy they are. Everybody says that.
Well, you don't usually use a Heineken bottle on a woman, Tom. That's a
well, that's
extreme.
An extreme. But what I'm saying is these two sat in the studio and swore to me that this was the happiest marriage you could possibly imagine. But in reality, this guy was, to quote Elliot Rodger, a brute. This guy was like, he was dangerous.
Oh, God.
But when I interviewed them in the studio, they were just the perfect couple. And then the only difference between them and the other neighbors there in Coral Springs, a suburban community, the only difference is they like to bring a couple of other people into the bedroom once in a while.
Oh, well, it sounded like a good idea at the time.
They were so happy. And you can imagine the shock of all the listeners when they found out why they weren't together anymore.
Okay.
So I am always skeptical, especially when people bend over backwards to tell you how happy they are. The happiest married couples are only moderately happy. They have to deal with the daily grind of seeing each other all the time and leaving the bathroom door open and there's no mystery anymore and blah, blah, blah. You know the deal.
Didn't Beyonce do that with Jay-Z? They were on 60 Minutes talking about how happy they are and everything was great.
The thing is, celebrities do it times 10.
Yeah.
Because they have a narrative they're trying to get out there. Jay-Z and Beyonce want you to think they are American royalty. And they're
right.
Happy, happy, happy. Then you read an In Touch magazine about all the touching that allegedly is going on.
Oh, my God.
Well.
Okay. I think
so
I got the
go.
Idea, Tom.
All right. So stay away from those Heineken bottles, Corey. That's all I can
Jeez,
say.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What a horrible story,
yeah.
Tom.
Well, I just wanted to make a point. Everybody you meet who's married tells you how happy they are.
We got to work on the kinky hour, though. I like that idea.
The kinky hour.
Right after Money Monday. I like that.
Yeah. We used to do it every Wednesday night at 11. That's
well,
when we had
Wednesday,
the kinky
there
hour.
We go. We don't have to go that late.
Well, the show was on 8 to midnight, so it was the last hour of the show on Wednesday.
Well, our last hour on Wednesday, okay.
By the way, best call ever to the kinky hour was a 65-year-old woman who called in and said, I'm 65 years old. I'll do anything with anyone.
All right.
Wow. Oh, Grandma.
Way to go, Grandma. Where was she when she was 25?
Good question. By the way, that show was so over the top, it required two, count them, two screeners.
Whoa.
It's the only show my whole career ever did where we had to have two screeners.
We had to put Gary on double duty with Dino.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It was crazy, crazy.
We could do it unscreened. Can you imagine?
Well, by the way, we screen.
Well, you know.
You know why we screen? Because people gave out their real phone numbers.
Oh, my God.
So we had to call everybody back to make sure it was really them.
My number's
305.
Oh, my God. I thought all the perverts were in California. I can't believe this.
Oh, no, 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 no. Miami, South Florida.
Florida's conservative.
Bars open till 5 a.m. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right. Well, Corey, thanks for calling.
All right. We're going to say thank you, Corey.
Thank you guys so much.
Good luck. All right.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh, but thank you, Corey.
I think we really put her through it, Tom. I hope she doesn't hate me now.
Well, the next time she sees a Heineken bottle, she's going to see it in a whole new light.
Me too.
Oh, my. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to find out how you can get in touch with Adam. And then we have another call coming up from a caller who says his wife is violating their court order. So we're going to talk about
that.
Oh, that
sounds sexy.
Oh, yeah. But it could be very exciting, as you know. All right, that's coming up next.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 lister, Antonio Atoche, and his brothers. And they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca. On West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesian Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Especially when they're talking donkey sex.
I told you to jerk him off slowly. He's looking for a cigarette now. It's over. Can't you see how you fucked us up? How many times you twist while you're jerking them off?
17 minutes past the hour now. It's the Iris in the Morning program. Well, you know the wetbacks do that all the time when they can't get their hands on actual cocks. They go right for the donkey.
Guts. Glory. Stupid. infinity.
You know, the mules are hung even bigger than those Negro.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Just... Warner now is sports.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Summer is here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Now, Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them over the years, and I highly recommend Hondas for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpreenHonda.com. They spell it SpreenHonda.com. Now, you can drive by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at this number, 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. Now, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 freeway in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Now, call or drop by today. And tell Jeff Spreen, he's a P1, by the way, and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, Spreen, at SpreenHonda.com.
Hammer time.
It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with Family Law Attorney Adam Sachs. And before we run out of time here, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can always call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email at adam@adamlawyer.com. And check my website at www.adamlawyer.com. And I do answer my own phone.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Let's get Michael in here. Michael in Hickory, North Carolina.
All right.
You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Good. How are you doing?
What's up, Michael? Great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing very well. My story, I'm going to make it short. I married my ex-wife in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm from. And
you did a little Vegas wedding. I like that.
We got married on Lake Mead on the houseboat.
Nice.
We made two little boys together. I had my own business, and then I just was tired of my employees. I was hired in Vegas, so I decided to move my business to Colorado Springs, Colorado. Well, we separated then, and she went back to Vegas and lived with her parents, and she wanted to move to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina with her parents because her dad had burned all of his bridges in Vegas, and he found a job in South Carolina. So I signed a piece of paper, you know, that she was going to file with the courts.
So you allowed her to move there. I'm sorry. So you went along with her moving the kids away to the Carolina, just like that?
Yeah, because at the time I was in Colorado, so it would be I did all my research, and it would have been cheaper for me to go from Colorado to South Carolina visit them.
Okay. Well, how'd you end up in Carolina? I mean in Colorado.
Because I moved my business from Vegas. We picked up and moved from Vegas to there. Okay. We separated and then visually divorced from Colorado. She went back to Vegas. Well, I lost my business. I've been having it for like 15 years. And I went back to Las Vegas, and I was getting my boys over the summers. And that was not enough for me. I found a new job. I didn't want to own my business anymore. I went back to work for a company.
Right.
And I worked in Las Vegas for 2 years. And I told myself, yeah, the summers aren't enough. So I moved from Vegas to Hickory, North Carolina.
Okay.
And now I'm afraid that now that I'm here, I'm only an hour and a half away from my kids now. So I see them all the time.
That's good.
I think that upsets her.
Okay.
I think she's trying to make a move to Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, you got to prevent her from moving.
How do I do that?
Well, do you have court orders? I mean, like,
you said
you have custody and visitation?
I do have visitation rights. Lots of visitation rights.
From what court?
Las Vegas courts.
Okay. So you have to take this Las Vegas, the Nevada, you know, ruling that you have, and get it entered in North Carolina in your local county courthouse.
So what you do is you get an original of it, which is a certified copy, and then you bring it over to your local courthouse, and you get it filed. States have what's called full faith and credit under the Constitution of the United States, and they recognize each other's rulings, and then you can prevent her in the North Carolina court. You can use it and enforce your visitation and your other rights and prevent her from leaving the state or the county and going to Pennsylvania. Now, you've been allowing a lot of stuff to happen. You allowed her to move around and to go to this other thing, and you obviously moved to Colorado, but, you know, you got to put an end to that now.
I moved from Vegas all up here to North Carolina.
I understand.
To where...
But you initially had allowed her to make these moves, and you followed her. Mm-hmm. What you have to show now is you have to show that you're not going to accept that anymore, and you need to go after it in the local court that you have there. And the only way to do that is to take the order, as I said, and make it enforceable in your new state. It's very important to do that. You have valid court orders. It's not going to be very convenient for you to go to Nevada to deal with them, so you need to transfer them to your new county.
Okay.
You follow me? It's very, very common that women play these games where they are trying to give the father a hard time. This is especially true if she has a new guy in her life, and whatever the story is, if she's dating him or marrying him or whatever, and she wants the kids.
She's a new guy. She married him, and they just had a baby.
All right. Well, that's another thing that women like to do. They have a new baby with the new guy. Sort of they call that the glue baby. That's supposed to glue the family together. But one of the things that she's trying to do is to get her kids to be attached to this guy because, you know, she's all up on him now. Now, that's not going to work out, of course, eventually, and then she's going to hate his guts, and she won't want the kids anywhere near him. He also, over time, is not going to like some other man's kids. But right now, she's imagining this and trying to, you know, think that this is going to work. And so the hook is that, you know, you and your constant presence is always reminding the kids that they have a natural father and that it's going to keep them from being attached to her new guy. And so one of the ways of really making it happen is to move, or to make it difficult for you to see the kids in legal ways and other ways, and to just generally hassle you. And so that's supposed to also discourage you from seeing the kids and so forth. So broadly speaking, if you kind of separate in that way, that's your way to kind of make the break. And that's probably what's going on. So you can't allow that to happen. That's parental alienation. And obviously, you know, you want to be with your kids are bonded to you. If she really picked them up and moved to another state like Pennsylvania, that would really screw things up. And so you have to take steps to make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah, well, that's her. Okay. That's obviously her objective. And so you have to fight back and make sure that that doesn't happen. It's extremely common that women are, like, you know, living in this place, and they're more bound to the place where they originally were. And then they'll come home one day and just tell the kids, hey, I met this great guy, and I got this new job, and we're moving to Florida, you know? And it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and then if the guy does not act and does not prevent that from happening and does not take legal steps, then she's gone to Florida and he's seeing the kids basically 1 week a year during, you know, Christmas break or Easter or whatever. It's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense.
That's why I did this move, is because I was getting tired of seeing my kids.
Well, I think it's very nice that you did the right thing. You know, you followed your kids and you didn't give up on them. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. And obviously she is now putting in plan B. She probably never expected you to come all the way across the country like that.
Oh, she tried me.
Sorry?
I told her I was going to do it, and she tried her hardest to talk to me. I said, oh, the job economy's so bad up here in the South, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I'm not really worried about that because I'm good where I'm my job, and I can transfer anywhere I want to.
Right. So now she's got a real dilemma, so she's going for step two. Now that you move there, she's going to run somewhere else. And as I've always said, you've got to show her that that's not going to work, that you don't accept that. And you're going to have to sort of discipline her in a way. You're going to have to show her that it's not acceptable, and the way to do that is by enforcing your rights. And hopefully she'll stop this tactic, but it's, I'm sorry to say, extremely common. And it's something that is really intolerable. You see how women always do these kinds of things. They always fuck around with the ex-husband to test his limits and cancel his visits and play games and give him a hard time. And the theory is to gradually discourage him so that he will, get into a much looser connection with his children, and that she can then, you know, propose to the children that they have a new dad, and not to have the distraction of you. And part of that thing, what she's doing, which is sort of trying to nest and reform a new family, is, as you see, having a child with the new guy. So that's another good one, you see. Tom talks about this all the time, is the woman's nesting in
instinct, right, Tom?
Yes, which means essentially they want to get in and get a foothold.
That's right.
And, you know, Bobby, as I always say, they're checking into the Roach Motel when they come to your place, you know.
Right.
Roaches check in, but they don't check out.
But see, the thing is, Tom, is that when it doesn't work out the first time, as you see with this first man they had two children with, they'll try to flip it around and make it work some other way. And that's what you see. So she's got the new guy. She has to make sure he's all in the bag, and so therefore she has a child with him. And then she has to get the old guy kind of at a distance. And pain in the ass, he keeps following up with her, and he moved to the East Coast to be near his kids. So now she wants to try to do something else, which is to move to Pennsylvania.
Right. I hate that. But, Michael, good story. Good luck. Thank you for that. All right, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you again.
Sure thing. It's 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, and check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
Very good. All right, you know Adam is here with a bonus hour every Tuesday. It's live at 6 p.m. Pacific time if you need free legal advice. It's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yeah.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine, Celebrity News, Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta's Stevie J jail because he owes $1 million in back child support.
You have to ask yourself.
$1 million.
You need to call a timeout, okay? Because A, automatic, you need to say, how in the hell does a dude named Stevie J rack it up to $1 million? Do you realize how much money you have to generate in order to be hit with $1 million in back child support?
He had a kid in 97 and a kid in 98.
Okay.
In 99, he was ordered to pay $6,600 a month in child support, which eventually was raised to $8,500 a month in child support.
Yeah.
He didn't pay a goddamn dime.
Well,
it adds up to over $1 million.
First of all, let me just say this. You could clearly tell that Stevie J is not a client of Adam Sachs.
Yay.
This would never happen. He would not allow him to be in arrears of a fucking $1 million. And I didn't realize, and a question I have,
yes,
is that how much money do you have to owe in order to be put in jail?
That's a good question.
Because shouldn't this have been taken care of a long time ago?
Must have been on the run until he got on the television show. That's a problem.
Well, let me just say this. They done found him.
Right.
And they're looking for $1 million, a big, cool mill in back child support.
Here's a crazy situation. A repeated guest on this show, Ari Spears.
How are we making out with our friend Aries?
Also in a crazy divorce situation where apparently he owes his ex-wife a loaded Escalade and a new house.
Oh. Is that what he promised?
Yes, he promised that.
Again, you could clearly tell that Ari Spears was not a client of Adam Sachs. None of this would be happening.
He's somehow obligated to buy her a new home in Florida of her choosing, price range between $300K and $375K.
Let me handle this. I'm going to defer to Shaq on this.
Yes.
Listen up, Ari Spears. You need to contact Adam Sachs, adamlawyer.com. He'll take care of this shit.
So, as Shaq says, you really got to call Adam Sachs.
Your girl, Elisa, also will get a 2014 Cadillac Escalade. It must have a backseat entertainment center and a sticker price of between $60,000 and $75,000.
What the hell kind of parting gifts do we have here?
And some crazy shit. On top of that, he also has to spend $5,000 a month on child support.
I told him, Aries, please do yourself a favor. Adam Sachs.
There you go.
According to TMZ, they've seen the documents. Aries claiming $48,000 a month in salary. Where the hell is that coming from?
Puppy from tour. Actually, that, you know what that is? That's $500,000 a year. Yeah. It's from tour dates,
oh,
I'm
Lord,
sure.
Look, listen to you.
Well, it is.
Where have you seen Aries? Like, he's always big
on the,
shows.
He's at the Laugh Factory and stuff all the time.
Dude, that doesn't pay $500,000.
Listen, buddy, this is
Jamie
Masada,
even give you
buddy.
A cab
I give him everything and the free drinks, buddy. Everybody's happy.
It must be movie stuff, man. There's no way it's touring.
Oh,
stuff,
but please, dude. Movie stuff. What has he been in?
Oh, wonderful stuff.
But I think, like, if you do the Yuck Yucks at Buck in Cleveland, if you do enough of those shows, I think you get like $20,000 and stuff.
Yeah.
Indian Casino's good money.
The estranged wife of transsexual porn star Buck Angel is arguing that she's not married to the dude because a dude doesn't have a dong. He never got a penis. He's still actually a woman because there's no dick.
I'm going to say fair enough.
Fair enough. Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Or are they going to say, wait a minute, so, but what do the courts say here?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
I agree with this.
Buck, who does not have a penis, is looking for $2,000 a month in spousal support. Good luck with that. Pick alert for you. Uh-oh. Two words, Greer Grammer. Greer Grammer.
How we doing?
Kelsey Grammer's daughter. Who even knew?
Wait a minute. How old?
Yeah, I guess she was like a child star and stuff. We're seeing a little side boob from her on some red
carpet
situation.
Oh, it's okay if I look at this?
Go ahead. 22 years old now.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrific.
Right, nice little side boob going on. You know she got daddy issues for sure. I don't even know who her mother is, but Jesus Christ, this is not half bad.
Oh, man.
Right? She looks way younger than 22, by the way. I guess she's still on some kind of teen show.
Yeah, that's where even the name Greer...
Don't be thrown off by it.
I'm not.
She's legal.
She is an incredible little vixen.
She is. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
One of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life is what to study in college. Only problem is that most of you were brought up by single moms who fed you some bullshit that you can just follow your heart and the money will follow. Now you hear on the news about all the college graduates who can't find jobs. Unemployment is over 8%. Unemployment for people between 16 and 34 is 18%. You can't afford to piss away $100,000 in tuition, let alone 4 years of your youth on a worthless degree. That's why you need to get the book Worthless by Aaron Clary. If you're going to college or thinking about going to college, this is invaluable information. Worthless breaks down all the different degrees, their starting salaries, why some are worthwhile, and why others are literally worthless. And girls, this book is especially for you. Don't be that fool who majors in women's studies or communications and then expects the rest of us to carry your ass through life. Be smart. Buy Worthless. It's only $5 on Kindle and $13 in paperback, and it could change the course of your life. Worthless. It may prove to be a better investment than college itself. Find it on Amazon right now. Worthless.
This is the new normal.